So I decided that this morning we're going to do an activity. So I'm going to split the church into two groups, okay? So both sides are the main aisle here. So this side, all the way from here, all the way to the end, this is one side. And this side has lots of rules to follow. I mean like a book this big. The rules to follow here on this side, okay? This side, from here all the way to this end, no rules. No rules. Okay. So is everybody going to get up and move to this side? What you're gonna do? All right. Doesn't everybody from the rule side want to go to the no rule side? Of course, right? Well, don't worry, if you're on this side, you're not alone. The Israelites in the first reading felt like they were on your side. Lots of rules, huh? They just got the Ten Commandments, do this, don't do this, don't do this, do this, and what do they mean? Yeah. They wanted to be on the other side too. And don't feel bad because the prodigal son felt like he was on your side. Huh? Living with his father, go tend this, go take care of this, be home by this time. I don't know why. He wanted to be on the other side too. So what did both of them do? They went to the other side. The Israelites, they built a molten calf. We're going to do what we want to do. The prodigal son, he spent all his money on prostitutes. I'm going to spend my money how I want. I'm not going to follow your rules, Dad. But what did they both find out? Oh, they were happy, but not for long. Before long, what did they discover? Emptiness. Loneliness, nothingness. We see this pattern back and forth in the history of Christianity. In fact, it is the history of Christianity. So let me speak in broad generalizations about the last 500 years of our faith. So some would say that the Reformation, the Protestant Reformation, was a response to these rules that didn't make sense. You know, I need to, got to pay for this, and I got to sign up for this, I got to wait for this. And some would say that the Protestant Reformation was a response to that. But where did that response go? Well, some would say that it ended up in the Enlightenment. The 1700s, you know, all I really need is reason, all I really need is science. I can figure out for myself what's right, what's wrong. So then for some, the response to that within the church was what some would call the manualist tradition. For some 300 years, where moral theology was governed by manuals. You know, if you go to confession, you confess this, it's on this chart, and your penance is this, and if you want to get married, you do this, and then you wait for this, and you... So then for some, the response for that brought us to Vatican II, where we opened the window to let in this fresh air. Huh? Now that's not to say that any of these are all good or all bad. All had reason. But when they're taken to an extreme is when there's a problem. When the Israelites felt like they were just following arbitrary laws. Or when the son let no moral guide whatsoever guide him. What the church invites us to do is to come to the middle. The Catholic view of morality is distinct from no law or arbitrary law. The Catholic view of morality is that God's law is friendly to us, that God's law was built to make us happy, even. And we have a phrase for that. It's called participated theonomy. Participated theonomy. So it's not autonomy, like no rules, I'll do what I want. And it's not a heteronomy. You know, we'll do these rules because God says so, because the church says so. No, it's a theonomy. We participate in God's plan for us. The only way that we can truly be free and truly be happy. Now notice that when we come to the center, the rules are still there. It's our attitude that has changed toward them. When the Israelites came back, they still had the Ten Commandments. When the son came back, he still had to follow his father's rules. But once we start living in a participated theonomy, we want to come back to the Father. Because we no longer see the moral laws of God as a burden to follow or as a burden to escape, but as a way to help us flourish. So the irony of this analogy, you know, the two sides of the church, is that the time when we leave our pew is to come to the center for the Eucharist. You know, to come to the center for the Eucharist. When we acknowledge God's plan for us, even all the hard rules that go with it, we approach this feast just as the prodigal son did, to be fed by the Father.